Hi everyone and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Kat.
So Kat, chocolate. What are your favorite chocolate bars?
Oh, I mean, how can I decide? Oh. I like Cadbury a lot.
Yeah, I went to Cadbury's World as a kid. It was like the best school trip ever.
Ooh, go
to
that sounds
fun. We actually went to a chocolate factory, you know, chocolate factory, like in the story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Did you get to inherit the factory at the end?
Sadly, no.
But nobody got turned into blueberries either.
Also, no.
That's good.
Bought a lot of chocolate, tried a lot of chocolate, bought, you know, hot chocolate. Chocolate mugs. It was wonderful.
Wow, that sounds really
cool. Yeah, I do like a lot of Cadbury stuff. I do like Mars bars, the British versions. Mm. They're like Snickers, but without the peanuts and with a bit of extra nougat.
Caramel. So it's a little bit like a Milky Way.
Our Milky Ways are slightly different. If you guys don't know this, Americans and British people have some chocolate bars in common, but some that are completely different and some that have the same name, but are completely different. So it's a lot of fun if you travel to both countries to sort of try the different chocolates and eventually you'll find out British stuff is better.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. But we're not talking about British chocolate in today. We're talking about a particular kind of Dutch chocolate in the first of our two Newswatch stories. We'll also read about what's been going on earlier this year with the bushfires in Australia.
Yeah.
So let's read through and find out what's been happening in the world.
Child slavery and chocolate. Tony's Chocolonely's Fight. You can never have enough chocolate, and now Taiwanese consumers have a new international option. Available at Carrefour now, Tony's Chocolonely is a Dutch brand that originated in 2005. Toon van de Koeken was a journalist who had enjoyed chocolate his whole life, but while reading one day, he encountered an astonishing and upsetting fact. Slavery is still rampant in the cocoa farming industry. Van de Koeken's business, Tony's Chocolonely, has been on a mission since day one. The company refuses to deal with farmers who use slave labor. They also divide their bars into uneven pieces as a statement about the unequal status of cocoa farmers in relation to the huge corporations that buy the beans and sell chocolate to the world. To address this inequality, Tony's Chocolonely works closely with farmer cooperatives to set fair prices for cocoa. In this way, the farmers can support themselves and in turn pay their workers properly. Though fair trade goods are more expensive, we should be glad to pay a little more if we know that it helps to minimize human suffering.
Tempers and temperatures high as bushfires ravage Australia. Last spring and summer were hard on Australia, with fires raging out of control from September 2019 to February 2020. Wildfires are a natural occurrence in the Australian bush, but they were particularly severe this season. The burned area is equivalent to nearly three times the size of Taiwan. Additionally, many of the bushfires came near the country's biggest cities. Domestic and international commentators criticized Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, for clumsiness in reacting to the fires. Morrison took his family to Hawaii for a vacation while firefighters were risking their lives in the burning bush. The firefighters lacked proper government support, relying on thousands of volunteer firefighters for help. Morrison is also facing backlash for his government's general inaction on climate change. There's no doubt that the root of Australia's bushfire crisis was environmental in nature. The country logged a record-breaking average maximum temperature of 41.9 degrees Celsius on December 18th, and Australia has been drought-ridden for years. Scientists agree that higher global temperatures are due to rising levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and that humans are the cause of this increase.
Okay, so our first news story today is about this Dutch chocolate company called Tony's Chocolonely.
So it's been around for a while, but I guess the news point is now you can get it in Taiwan, which is great.
Yeah.
I've not tried it yet.
I have. I actually went to Amsterdam last fall and brought some back, but then it wasn't too long after that I went to Carrefour and saw it was
there, and I was like,
now I don't have to go to...
How's it taste?
It's very good.
Excellent.
They have some really nice flavors.
Pick some up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is all about Tony's Chocolonely's fight.
Mm.
And as you might guess from hearing Kat and I talk about chocolate flavors, you can never have enough chocolate. And now Taiwanese consumers have a new international option, which brings us on to Carrefour.
Yeah, available at Carrefour now, Tony's Chocolonely is a Dutch brand that originated in 2005. Dutch means it comes from the Netherlands. They're called Dutch because that's like an old English word for, you know, people who were from the Netherlands and Germany. But it originated there in 2005. That means that the brand started in 2005 and that's when it, you know, began its business and its origin was in the Netherlands.
Yep, and Toon van der Kerken?
Yeah, Kerken. Yeah.
He was a journalist who had enjoyed chocolate his whole life, but while reading one day, he encountered an astonishing and upsetting fact. So let's look at a couple of things before we get onto that fact. We use had enjoyed there to show that this is the past perfect tense, which means this is a situation that was true in the past, but also came to an end in the past.
Yep.
And it's a perfect tense, so we don't have the exact dates and times for a reference. We know that he had enjoyed it. He stopped enjoying it after reading this particular fact, which happened sometime before 2005.
Yeah.
We also say that this was an astonishing and upsetting fact.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's astonishing is very surprising. Not just a little bit surprising, but super surprising. The sort of thing, it makes you go, what? Wow. No way.
Yeah.
You kind of stop what you're doing and question, is that even true? Is that possible?
Mm.
So it's such a big unexpected thing that you can't help but kind of note that fact. And in this case, it was also upsetting. It made him feel sad.
Yeah. And the reason it was so upsetting is, well, here's the fact. Slavery is still rampant in the cocoa farming industry. By saying slavery is still rampant, we're not just saying that slavery still exists, but it's still everywhere. So when you say something is rampant, that means there's a lot of it. It's just too much. And usually rampant is a word with some negative meaning.
Right.
And so that means it's too much of a bad thing.
Yeah. It also means it's not kind of dying out. It's kind of flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's found in many places and it's still going pretty strong.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is in the cocoa farming industry where people are farming the cocoa trees and beans and getting all the stuff for the chocolate. So places in Africa, South America, Central America, I guess, where most chocolate is grown, it still seems that slavery is really, you know, so many places are using slave labor to get the beans, which is awful.
And there's some major chocolate companies that are connected to it.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
You know, Nestle, I think.
Probably some of the ones we've mentioned.
Yeah, some of the ones you can get at 7-Eleven.
Yep.
Yeah, better be careful. But anyway, Van de Kuchen's business, Tony's Chocolonely, has been on a mission since day one.
So if you are on a mission, this means you're kind of like, this is our thing. You know, we're not stopping. Mm. This is our goal. So they're not just getting into business like, oh, yeah, we'll make chocolate. We'll sell chocolate. No, we've got a purpose here.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a clear goal. But what about the phrase since day one?
Since day one. Well, when you say day one, that means like the very first day that you're doing something, the very first day that you're in business. So if you say since day one, that means that originally, when you started this thing, when you started this business, you already had this mission and you already had this goal. It wasn't something you came up with later. It was very, very important to the start of the business.
Right.
Yeah.
So here it is. The company refuses to deal with farmers who use slave labor. So they're going, okay, we're going to set, where do we get our beans? Where do we get our cocoa powder and stuff for our chocolate?
Yeah.
Let's check out the people who are selling them. Let's check out where they get their supplies from.
Yeah.
If there's any slaves anywhere, no deal.
Right.
We're only working with people who have got free paid working laborers.
Yeah, exactly. Who make money from their work.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. They also divide their bars into uneven pieces as a statement about the unequal status of cocoa farmers in relation to the huge corporations that buy the beans and sell chocolate to the world. Mm. Yeah.
So why did they do that? It's a statement. It's a message they're sending that says that people in the cocoa industry have got unequal status. They're not being treated in the same way. They're not getting paid the same amount of money for the amount of work they do. It's uneven. It's unequal.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the relationship between cocoa farmers and big corporations. We use the phrase in relation to make a comparison, to talk about how two things are and how they're the same, how they're different, how far apart they are or how close. What is the nature of the difference between these two things? So we've got in relation to, in other words, comparing cocoa farmers versus the corporations. How much money does each group get? And it's clearly uneven.
Yeah, it's very, very uneven. In fact, you know, corporations usually make a significantly more money than farmers do.
Yeah.
But a corporation is like a large company that has been incorporated, which I guess would mean
they've got a charter or something.
Yeah.
They've signed a big document saying this is our company and this is our statement and we're officially registered and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's an officially registered business. And usually huge corporations, you think of like tech companies like Google, or you think of like Walmart. I think Carrefour is a corporation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, these big companies, these big corporations, definitely make a lot more than the cocoa farmers. They get a lot more profit from the chocolate that they sell.
Yep. But we can fix this, and Tony's Chocolate Only is trying to fix this.
Mm.
The article says to address this inequality, this unequal status, Tony's Chocolate Only works closely with farmer cooperatives to set fair prices for cocoa. So a cooperative is when a group of people are working together, basically.
Yeah.
They are operating together. So co means together. You've got cooperation, working together.
Yep.
Cooperative, a group of people working together, helping each other, supporting each other, and agreeing prices so no group is going, oh, we can sell a bit cheaper and therefore we'll get better business or more business.
Yeah.
We'll all sell things at the same price.
Yeah, so
to kind of make it even.
Definitely. And so it promotes fairness and it promotes, you know, working together and equality and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, the farmers can support themselves and in turn pay their workers properly. Yeah, because they're not slashing prices.
Exactly. They're making the same amount of money so that workers can get a share and so on. So we see that though fair trade goods are more expensive, we should be glad to pay a little more if we know that it helps to minimize human suffering. So these are fair trade goods. And they have to be actually assessed. Like, to call yourself a fair trade good, like people have got
to
come and check your farm, check working conditions, check prices, and then they say, yep, you are doing things fairly, you're fair trade goods. And that's actually quite a big selling point for many people.
I'm not
buying it unless it's that this company is treating their people fairly.
Yeah, or unless the supply chain is completely transparent,
which
means you can see every step and what's going into it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, they are more expensive because it means that everybody working in that chain is getting a fair deal, but we should be glad to pay that much more because it's minimizing human suffering. To minimize something means to make it smaller, to make it lesser, to reduce it somehow in amount, scale, size, cost, something like that. Just make whatever it is smaller and lesser.
Right. And fair trade doesn't only apply to things like coffee and chocolate. It can also be like clothing, like the cotton that they use to make the clothing, because slaves are rampant in the cotton industry as well.
In many industries.
Even in making your tech products.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's important to be aware of where your things come from.
Yeah. And how people are working to make them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the end of our first news story.
That is the end of our first story. So that's some good news as a way to kind of fight against slavery and hopefully force other companies to be like, oh, we need to do this too, otherwise people won't buy our stuff. Our next story is about bushfires, but before we get to that, we're going to take a short break. Okay, so here's our second story. We've got a title, Tempers and Temperatures High as Bushfires Ravage Australia. Yeah. So tempers high means people are getting angry. Temperatures high, people are getting hotter. Yeah. And that's because these bushfires are ravaging Australia. To ravage something is to do a great deal of damage to all of that thing, kind of across the whole area, to damage it very badly, to make it so it's very difficult for that area or this particular thing to be used again. You could talk about a fire or a typhoon ravaging a city, a typhoon ravaging a coastal area, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, so it's basically talking about damage.
Yeah.
So last spring and summer were hard on Australia, and spring and summer for them are like what would be Taiwan's fall to the middle of winter.
Yeah, basically kind of the opposite for us, because of course they're down in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah. The second part of the sentence says, with fires raging out of control from September 2019 to February 2020.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a good kind of media term or local term that's been used for this particular summer in
Australia. Raging out of control.
You called it the Black Summer?
Oh yeah, Black Summer. Yeah.
Because of all the smoke and stuff.
And the, you know, charred forests and just the fact that these fires destroyed so much. And black often, you know, talks about like death or evil.
Yeah.
So I guess
Black Friday, wasn't it?
Black Friday is more about shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's black can also be used to talk about like, you know, things that are kind of evils on the land. So Black Summer would definitely be, you know,
because
it was a very, very horrible fire.
Right. So we see that wildfires are a natural occurrence in the Australian bush, but they were particularly severe this season. So the summer season. An occurrence is basically just something that happens. It's something that is fairly normal. Okay. It's not a really strange phenomenon or an unusual thing. It's something you can see. It's a regular and natural occurrence. There are fires in the Australian bush because it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so a lightning strike or, you know, so just some areas getting too hot means a fire will break out.
Yeah.
And in some natural areas, like fires are almost a natural way of sort of controlling the area.
Yeah, for sure.
They just have to be managed, and nature used to be able to manage itself in that regard.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, you know, in my hometown, we had a similar thing where during the summer we would have forest fires, but they never got that bad, and the fire teams knew how to manage them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these ones are definitely not managed
very well.
Yeah.
We also mentioned the Australian bush. We should mention the bush.
Yeah.
This being basically Australia's countryside. As soon as you get away from the cities, you're essentially in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fairly wild, undeveloped land. Can include forests, can include plains, can include bits of desert.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that is the bush.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so these fires actually got extremely bad. The burned area is equivalent to nearly three times the size of Taiwan. So if you, you know, stack three Taiwans together, that's how much fire is burning
was burning in Australia. Huge, yeah.
It's really, really big. And, you know, it did a huge amount of damage. Now, equivalent here is this word that we use to talk about something being equal to something in amount or in value.
Yep, exactly. Imagine three Taiwans next to each other.
On fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We see that additionally, many of the bushfires came near the country's biggest cities.
Mm-hmm.
So, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Even some parts of Sydney had to be evacuated, which means people were ordered to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
So it got pretty bad.
Now,
we didn't put this in the article, but the giant rains that happened in Australia actually were a big help in those fires.
Yeah.
So there was a sort of a natural fix for it. But by then, things had already gotten like super
horrible.
Bad. So,
yeah.
And a lot
of what was... are just...
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of I've got a few Australian friends, and I saw a lot of online posts about this next part of it, a lot of criticism.
I saw that too.
Yeah, it says domestic and international commentators criticised Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, for clumsiness in reacting to the fires. So a commentator is basically somebody who makes comments about and gives their opinion on things that are happening. In a sports game, the commentators tell listeners or viewers what's going on, who has the ball, how are things playing out in this game. Here we're talking about news commentators, so people who, they don't report the news, but they will hear the reporter give the story and then they'll give their opinion. Like, this is what I think, this is who's to blame, this is kind of the extra stuff behind the bare facts of the story.
They'll usually have some pretty strong opinions about something because that's what gets people to watch.
Yeah, and if they didn't, they wouldn't be doing this job.
Exactly. You know,
these people have got to have something to say about it.
Yeah.
And what they said was pretty bad stuff about Scott Morrison, Australia's Prime Minister. Prime Minister is the equivalent of a president in a country that has a ruling king or queen. Australia still has the queen, so they don't have a president, they have a prime minister.
Right, and they were criticizing him for his clumsiness in reacting to the fires. Now, this doesn't mean that he was physically clumsy, which would be like tripping over and maybe he was trying to put out the fire, but spilled a bucket of water on himself. That would be pretty silly. But actually, what this is more like clumsiness in behavior or the way of handling something, like handling a problem.
It happens. Sometimes people react to something in the news and they don't really think about what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And so what they say ends up sounding really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a form of clumsiness.
For sure. Yeah. And actually, his clumsiness was a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
So what did he do?
Well, we see Morrison took his family to Hawaii for a vacation while firefighters were risking their lives in a burning bush. So he didn't come, you know, he didn't stay around and say, all right, I'm here, I'm going to marshal the situation, I'm going to make some changes, pass some laws, release funding to organize things.
He was like bye.
Yep, we're going on a trip right now.
Uh-huh.
So, and of course, if a prime minister or a president is out of the country and they don't immediately return, then they're going to get criticized for just not being in place.
Yeah.
Of course, these people are allowed to take vacations, but it's kind of more how they react to them and, you know, what they do about them.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Like if you're facing a problem that is extremely serious, you shouldn't just, you know, run off and do whatever you like.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't all.
Yeah, so the firefighters lacked proper government support, probably partly because of his vacation, relying on thousands of volunteer firefighters for help. Yeah, so they lacked proper government support means they didn't have that proper government support. The government wasn't giving them enough money, enough supplies. They just didn't have what they needed to do a good job fighting the fires. Many of them were getting exhausted
burned
and injured, and there was so, like, there's all these scenes in these videos of firefighters just looking so tired and just, you know, they're doing their best, but there's only so much they can do.
Yep. So they had to rely on volunteers, people who just showed up and said, like, what do you need? You know, can I carry water? Can I hold a hose? Can I get in there and try and put fires out? Just people who came forward and said, I'm going to do it. And Australia needed that. If they didn't have all these volunteers, they wouldn't have been able to fight the fires so well. But Scott Morrison is also being criticized for kind of a general policy idea that he's been putting forward since he became prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
It says Morrison is also facing backlash for his government's general inaction on climate change. Backlash is another word for criticism. It's you do something and there's a reaction that says, oh, that's wrong, that's bad, we don't like it.
Yeah.
That is backlash.
Backlash is a reaction criticism, where it's you lash, which would like literally mean to hit somebody, so it's back hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and his inaction. So action, of course, would be doing something. And so inaction, with this in prefix, means that he's not doing anything. Means that he's just kind of sitting on his laurels, sitting on his bum, and just, you know, not taking any significant action, just saying it's not really a thing we need to worry about.
And his party is also more in support of the fossil fuel industry and doesn't really push the kind of renewable energy and, you know, positive environmental changes That's
because
just,
they have money to make from other things.
Yeah, that's their that's that particular policy of that particular party.
Right.
But Australia, I mean, I've seen the news for years. Australia's getting hotter and hotter every single year. And
yeah,
we can't
there's
get
only,
into this.
There's not, you know, they can't keep putting their heads in the sand
right.
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the next paragraph says too. There's no doubt that the root of Australia's bushfire crisis was environmental in nature. You'll have commentators who question this, who say like, oh, was it an arsonist, which means like a person who set the fire on purpose? But actually, there's, you know, it's definitely environmental
just, yeah,
in nature.
Heat. Yeah. We see the country logged a record-breaking average maximum temperature of 41.9 degrees Celsius on December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And Australia has been drought-ridden for years. So if you log something, that's just saying you record it. It's recorded in a system. It's been measured. It's been checked. And it's been entered as a piece of data.
Yeah.
Drought-ridden, the country has been affected badly by droughts. Drought is not enough rain, not having enough water.
Yeah.
You could say somebody's illness ridden or something like that, ridden with sickness. That means they have that thing, it's there, it's a lot of it, they can't get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. So what they're saying is Australia has not enough rain, it's too hot there, there's places that are going without water, it's in a pretty bad situation.
And not having rain means that things dry out, and when they're dry, they're easier to set on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. So scientists agree that higher global temperatures are due to rising levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that's CO2,
mm-hmm.
and that humans are the cause of this increase.
Yep.
So, yeah, no matter what, you know, politicians are saying, science agrees that this is probably because of us.
Yeah, this is a global consensus.
Yeah.
You know, like 99% of scientists agree, and the 1% that don't are either crazy or
they're being bottled by fossil fuel companies.
Yeah, they're kind of working for the people who want them to say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the fires were put out by rains and a lot of hard work, but you can kind of see this problem might come back again unless action is taken on climate change.
Right.
Hopefully next summer it's not as bad.
Let's hope so.
Yep. But that brings us to the end of today's Newswatch. Thanks for listening, everybody. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Kat.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
See you later.